columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus, D-Mac, and Nick Ferguson.
NFL statement. Following more than 10 months of intensive and thorough negotiations, the NFL players and clubs have jointly developed a comprehensive set of new and revised terms that will transform the future of the game, provide for players, past, present, and future, both on and off the field, and ensure the NFL's second century is even better and more exciting for the fans. Here we go, fellas. The membership voted today to accept the negotiated terms on the principal elements. So not everything, but on the principal elements of a new CBA. The Players Association would also need to vote to approve the same terms for there to be a new agreement. Since the clubs and players need to have a system in place to know the rules that they will operate under by next week, the membership also approved moving forward under the final year of the 2011 CBA if the players decide not to approve the negotiated terms. So
back up to the next week part. What was that?
Yeah, I'm not exactly
sure. Since the clubs and players need to have a system in place and know the rules that they will operate under by next week. What does next week have to do with anything?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. Huh. That's a good question. We'll have Nikki on later. We can ask her that. Or Mike Kliss. Mike Kliss joining the radio station. I don't know if
Mike
you guys
Kliss, welcome
that
back.
Isn't that great?
I think it was all built to put pressure on the players and the Players Association by kind of like setting that kind of like hard deadline.
Well, here's what I'm hearing out of this. If the players sign off on this, we could just get a new CBA done. These new rules would go into effect, you know, relatively immediately. We would have an extra team in the playoffs. We would have 17 games. We'd figure it all out. Maybe it's got to do with scheduling and you know, making all this happen, logistics and all that sort of, you know, stuff, meaning that it has to be done. If it could get done quickly, then perhaps things could move along quickly. And
yeah.
I mean, I don't know how you schedule 32 teams for 17 games. There's some logistics with that, right?
Well, I'll tell you this just from personal experience. You know, I was a part of the previous CBA negotiations. When I say I was part of it, I mean I was in the league and I had to be on the team. I had to raise my hand whether I vote yes or whether I vote no that I want to agree to the terms, okay? And I will tell you this, never did we meet to take a vote until it was time to say yes. We met many times to discuss what's going on. We met many times to get updates on what the conversations have been. But when we were told you are going to vote today, in other words, what happens is when they say you're going to vote today, they say, hey, reps, tell all your guys this is a good deal. Let's go do this. Let's get it done. And you raise your hand and you say yes. That's pretty much the way that the sheep mold worked. It sounds like they're putting this in front of the players to vote on. So it sounds like it's pretty much a done deal in my mind.
As much as I like to disagree with the process and how these things come about, D-Meg, I think it's going to happen. Because for me, anytime you do business, you got to sit in the face in front of people, ask questions. And from what I've been reading, DeMar Smith is gathering the guys together, and they're going to do pretty much a conference phone call. And with that conference phone call,
I'm just looking at the headline above you on SportsCenter. They're talking about it on Friday, the players, however they do it.
Well, yeah, and to me, that's bad business. Because I want to get all my reps in the room, and I want to send them down, look at them across the aisle and talk to them, and to get their rebuttals to what the owners are actually suggesting. Because the last CBA, when it was approved, to me, it was done improperly. I mean, you can't get guys on the phone and say, listen, this is what we collectively agreed on. Us 12 people or 8 people in the room, and now you have to push it out to your guys and get them to accept it. The reason I know that process occurs because someone called me right after that and said, Nico, you're not going to believe what just happened. You know, we didn't get a chance to even have a rebuttal or even give our reply. We were told to accept these terms. That's not a democratic process.
You had the opportunity to raise your hand or not. So whoever that's mostly true, whoever that is that told you that, of how it happened. I mean, I know I was in the room. I was a part of the process. And yes, they presented the case to you. And yes, they said that D. Smith has told us that this is a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to vote. So, like whoever's telling you that he didn't have an opportunity, that's not true. You have to raise your hand and say, yes, I want to approve this.
The problem I have with that process, because each team has a representative and they have an alternate. To me, these are guidelines that are going to affect every single player. And a lot of these guys who are on the committee, the chosen guys, their financial situation may not be as dire as someone else. So my idea is, just like the owners have an owners meeting, you get all the players together. So every person has a vote instead of allowing your rep to make a decision for you or just Demaurus Smith.
It seems like the big thing is the 17th game in the expanded playoffs.
Yeah.
And there will be more money for the players. That's been made clear.
I just don't understand how it's getting distributed. Like how is the extra money getting distributed for the 17th game? I can't quite figure that out from the way that the terms are listed.
I don't know. But again, we'll talk to somebody smarter than us. Nikki will join us in an hour. Perhaps we can talk to Mike Liss about this in the future. That being said, let's just assume that there'll be more money for players. Like, the owners understand there's no way they're going to push this forward without that. So let's say that exists, that, you know, they're not going to drug test the way they used to. They're going to apparently give the players a little more freedom in the off season. I guess that's in terms of testing or whatever.
Well, there is no testing.
Well, okay. I don't know what's going to hold this up. I'm not exactly sure what the players are going to object to. I don't know what else the players would want.
Or
is it just really seriously? Is playing one more game that big of a deal?
Well, it's only bigger deal as far as deciding how the money is divvied up.
Yeah.
Because if we know with this new deal that it's going to enhance the NFL because the TV deals are running out. So this is why they're trying to fast track this. So if they're going to be increased money at the very beginning, at the outset of this deal, the players want to know that there's some type of revenue sharing.
Well, they're
either
making
2-for-1 or 3-for-1.
They want to make a tweak to the fifth year option, meaning you get if you make the All-Star or the Pro Bowl 2 out of your first 3 years, it's not just a fifth year option, it's a fifth year franchise tag, which would, depending on where you're drafted,
which is a minor win for the players. It's
a
minor
million
one.
Dollars or so per player.
Well,
you know, if they get there.
But that's only for the first rounders, but that does not filter down to the everyone else. See how they're driving a wedge right there between the players?
But Nick, who matters the most in the NFL? Peyton Manning or Nick Ferguson?
Well, I guess Peyton
Tyler
Manning.
Columbus. Sorry, don't mean to leave you out of the people that don't matter.
Because, it's not me.
Because
I'll tell you that
yeah,
much.
Because
it was not me.
Because he's a big name, but you know, when you look at NFL history, a lot of those mid-level of free agent type guys make up the league.
Who matters more, Bradley Chubb or Todd Davis?
Bradley Chubb. Right. Who matters more, Dalton Reisner or Drew Locke?
Drew Locke.
Oh, who was drafted in front of who?
Dalton was drafted in front of him.
Yes, he
was. You know, I think these second round guys they're not that far away from the first round guys. Mm-hmm. They're all going to make more money. They're not. I think they're probably about equal.
Mm.
But they're
coming
not
to where they were drafted, Dalton.
Well, yes, by a little bit. But there's nothing different about it. It would be different if one of those guys, if Dalton was drafted 32, and then
of course Drew Locke means more.
Well, in terms of on the field, he does, yeah. I think it's going through, and I can't help but think this is a great thing. Not a good thing, but a great thing from the fans. I think the NFL just got remarkably better.
You didn't say players, you said fans.
That's who I care about more than anyone.
I could easily make an argument that this is way better for players. What's good for players? Money. That's good for players.
But that's the part that hasn't been decided yet.
Well, maybe it has. It's just not listed. I don't know.
Well, keep your eyes on it. It's moving quick. Jack Conklin. Mark thinks the best thing to do for the Broncos in free agency is throw money after money. is getting a free agent right tackle after you just paid a free agent right tackle the most money any free agent right tackle has ever made the answer? Mark thinks so. We'll tell you why he's crazy next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's D-Mac, Nick, and Tyler.
I remember when I lost my mind.
Yeah, off the air, we're talking about the deal, and it's like...
There's something so pleasant about that place.
It's tricky because... Naturally, players think they're trying to be hoodwinked by the owners. Why? Well, because they've been hoodwinked by the owners for, like, ever. I mean, we are talking about, you know...
Don't make it sound so dumb.
You're not dumb. It's usually, though, from what I've been told, most guys, Nick, Tyler, don't pay attention. Seriously, they don't know what's going on.
They don't because they leave their fate to the team representatives that they're going to go in and negotiate on their behalf with everything that is important to those guys. And I've seen in my 10-year career being a player and as a coach, that doesn't always happen. That's why I'm a firm believer that this is going to get pushed through.
Yeah, I think it will say too.
So I just read during the break how the pay would work for the final game. And in essence, the way it is proposed right now, the 17th game would mean an extra game check. So whatever you make on a weekly basis, and so it, for a lot of these guys, it's $20,000 a week, okay? Great money. You get an extra $20,000 check if you play in that 17th week. Now, there is one caveat to this. So there are guys in the NFL that are making $500,000 a game. It sounds crazy, but 16 weeks, there are guys that are making $500,000 a week. Okay, well, what do you do with those guys? Under the proposed situation, you would be capped at $250,000 for the final week of play. So for the two guys on each roster, maybe three guys on each roster that are making more than $250,000 per week, they would only make $250,000 for that game only. So... Mm-hmm. I think that doesn't sound like a big deal whatsoever because you've got 98% of the guys in the room that are saying, heck yeah, I can make an extra $40,000 for one more week. Okay. I can make an extra $50,000 in 1 week. Sign me up.
Okay. Mike and Mark have joined our free agent fever board. We appreciate it. Mike has picked Joe Thuney. Thuney or Thuney? Help me. I'm sorry.
Thuney. I think the H is silent.
Silent H.
And Joe Schobert, a linebacker for the Browns.
Sounds like an ice cream.
Stink has taken Trey Waynes, quarterback from the Vikings.
I don't know what he's thinking about taking Trey Waynes.
I don't know either. And Jack Conklin.
You know that, have you caught on to something here? That board's the same as this board. You can just look at that one. It's right in front of you.
Well, I'd look at the board that we invited them to join, and they have. So that's the board that I'm looking at.
Wait, but there's...
It's easier to see for D-Mac seeing this board.
I can't even read that. Although I can see the naked guys they put on there.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. But they're easier to see than their picks. But that being said, Jack Conklin. Okay. Now, this did surprise me because I have respect for Mark, and I think he's a smart guy. The one thing that seems to have burned the Broncos in terms of offensive line more than anything is throwing money at right tackles that haven't worked out. And not just right tackles. I guess Russell Okung they threw money at. That didn't work out.
Yeah, it sort of did. They made a mistake in not picking up the option.
Okay. He wants Jack Conklin. Jack Conklin started 16 games last year for Tennessee. He was a first-round draft pick. They did not pick up his fifth-year option. And this makes me nervous because this is the scariest part about free agent offensive linemen. What's wrong with them? I mean, because if you're any good as a free as a offensive lineman, you are so valuable. Teams are just not going to let you go away. So you're a first rounder, and they didn't pick up your like. Do you guys see the Broncos picking up the 5th-year option on Garrett Bowles?
Nope.
Tyler?
Maybe.
I don't. I could see him starting this year, but I do not see them picking up the 5th-year option on Garrett Bowles. That would stun me. It's one of the biggest reasons why I'm emphasizing tackles, you know, for the draft.
It's only guaranteed for injury, so it's really not a big deal.
All right, I
actually would throw it on him.
To me, it's like you're not negotiating, you're not doing a new deal, you're not picking up a 5th-year option.
Yeah, but you can still cut him and you don't have to pay it.
All right, let me ask you then. What's the deal with Jack Conklin?
Jack Conklin is a very good football player. If I could swap out Juwan James for Jack Conklin, sign me up. It sounds great to me as well. I don't know what's wrong with him. He played great football last year. Clearly, he must have struggled in one way or form the year before. But he's a really, really good football player.
The big rumor is that he's headed
out in a heartbeat. The big rumor is that simple.
He's headed to Seattle. That's apparently where the vibe is. So there's nothing wrong with him. There's not a play issue. There's not a penalty. There's not a performance. There's nothing wrong with this dude.
I think he's a great player.
So the Tennessee Titans have drafted a guy in the first round at left tackle. And
I hear you. I don't know what it is that is wrong with him.
It bothers me a lot when a team, you draft a guy, and knowing as though it's hard to get, you know, offensive linemen on the open market. And now you have a guy in-house that you allegedly develop, and you're not trying to retain him. There's something that...
What's the deal?
Bottom line is...
There's something there.
The whole conversation is crazy anyways, because you're paying Juwan James and you're stuck.
Well, that's another part of it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the bottom line on the entire deal.
But as far as the
football player goes, I love the football player.
Okay, well, I wanted to just check there. Because I do, of course, regard Mark's opinion on offensive linemen, but it seemed like a wild shot in the dark, you know, and it makes me nervous. Any offensive lineman, fellas, that becomes available in free... Nate, we love Nate Solder, right? Love Nate Solder.
If we were going to sign an offensive...
Wasn't the same guy when he went to the Giants.
That's true. That is true. But if we were going to sign an offensive lineman, specifically a tackle, I would sign a left tackle.
I think for Conklin, the issues were 2018 when he had a myriad of injuries that proved to be problematic. So maybe that's what it is. They don't know if, you know, he has staying power. You pay him a big deal. He may come in. He may pull a Juwan James, play 30 games. Maybe that's a huge concern.
My man Chad Brown listening. Thank you, Chad, chiming in. Amazing rookie year. Had injuries the next year. Never got his form back. That's
the concern.
Well, yes.
He was all pro his rookie year, and yeah, that's pretty much a true statement, except for I thought he played good football last year.
It makes me so nervous to go. That's why you draft offensive linemen, and you get the best you can out of them.
And if you have a guy in-house, you try to keep him.
All right. That's why you try not, you give Garrett Bowles every chance that
By the
you
way, though, this
can.
Is the exact same story of Juwan James, so I see where you're going.
I know. What's the difference?
It is the exact same story. Juwan had a good start. He struggled. And then he kind of came back to form in his final year with Miami, and then he got paid.
And all Elway's been doing is, like, chasing this particular position.
Don't do the same thing.
Draft a guy. It'd be great to draft a guy who could play guard and then move out to tackle.
Draft offense, pay defense.
Now, that's a good idea.
Got it.
When I come back... We come back, but I, because I'm getting ready for my once a week. Kill you with truth. See you. I'll tell you what you should do. It's not that hard. Details next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's D-Mac, Nick, and Tyler.
I'm just an old truth teller.
Time for D-Mac to kill you with truth.
I want the truth!
Yeah, the truth.
And the truth shall set you free!
Here on The Drive.
All right. See you, fans. It's time to kill you with truth. Hearing James Merrillat earlier say, we're just a stepping stone.
He didn't mean it.
We need, not just we're a stepping stone, we need to be a stepping stone. With all due respect, James, I disagree. What you need to do is establish a culture to get you back to some form of respectability. The days of winning national championships are done. I mean, listen, I get it. The Pac-12 is not exactly the toughest of the Power Five. And I love the Pac-12. But what you need right now is somebody to teach a certain amount of discipline and structure that is at least going to get you competitive year after year, so at least you make a bowl and go from there. Now, you're not going to take my advice with a Herm Edwards sort of hire. I get it. I wanted Joel Klatt or somebody else who would be a GM, be a star in recruiting, but I get it. It's not going to happen. What you need is Troy Calhoun. And the fact that he even interviewed for the job actually does shock me. And perhaps after 13 years, this is the guy. 11-2. He got a team that has to go to the Air Force to be an 11-2 team. These are guys that have to wear uniforms every day and live in Colorado Springs. He recruited those guys? I mean, how did he do it? And the truth is, Troy Calhoun is one of the most talented coaches I've ever been around. And I've had conversations with him on and off. I think this is a dream job for him. It'll pay him a ton of money. He's the right age. Okay, it's not as flashy as an SEC coordinator. And I don't think he's going to be running the triple option in the Pac-12. But whatever. And the recruiting will all follow itself. It's actually a culture change that you need the most. And just getting another SEC coordinator in here, that ain't going to do the trick. What you really should do is make it happen this afternoon. And the new coach of the CU Buffaloes should be Troy Calhoun. Fellas, that's the truth.
I like it. I mean, I spent some time in my day here with the Denver Broncos when Troy Calhoun was an assistant for the offensive side of the ball. So I know he knows football. He can relate to his players. If he couldn't do that, he wouldn't be at Air Force as long as he has. Now, CU is a jump up for him, but this is where the program can actually take a jump in recruiting. Having a guy who was able to recruit Air Force.
I don't know how he did it.
Now you're recruiting CU.
I don't know how he did it. Yes. That's amazing.
It's amazing, but that's what you have to be able to do. I like it.
I definitely respect his career and what he's chosen to do at Air Force. It's unique and it's special. A guy that has dedicated his life the way that he has. He's had opportunities to interview elsewhere. He's had opportunities to go back in the NFL. He's had opportunities to coach in college. And to the best of my knowledge, I don't think that he's really even remotely thought of any of them. So if he is considering CU, okay, loyalty factor, check. Check.
Right. He's
check
not going to be like okay. Midnight Mel. He's not going to make promises to kids, go to booster meetings, raise money, make promises, tell kids he loves them, and leave at midnight. It's not going to happen.
I definitely know that he would instill a culture of accountability. He would instill a culture of toughness, all of those things that it takes to be a cadet.
What impresses you about What impresses you about Air Force football?
Man, well, I mean, first off, just the ability to go and beat top 25 teams as a military school is insane. So, like, just think about that on the surface level. I guess when I watched them come into Boulder, I saw dudes that weren't afraid of anything.
Toughness.
Mental toughness, man. I mean, you saw guys walk into an environment that was bigger than what they play in.
Did you see some softness then out of CU?
I wouldn't say that. I actually think CU is a relatively tough team last year. They fought through adversity better than they ever have.
Is it a team that was relying too much on their probably overwhelming athleticism compared to Air Force?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they just kind of got a little cocky because of that.
You know, not soft, I'm going to be honest. If he actually does come to CU, no joke, I'm going to sound crazy. I hope that he keeps part of his offense. I hope that he stays true to his roots to a degree. Now, I don't want to be triple option Nebraska of the 90s, but, you know, like you're good at this. You're good at creativity. You're good at the spread them out and win with kind of smaller dudes type of mentality. Okay, well, stay creative because we're not quite there just yet.
I think with Troy and what he brings to the table, being as though he's at the Air Force Academy, it is detail-oriented, attention to detail, that certain level of toughness that we don't see. And when teams look at Pac-12 teams, they don't look at them as being soft, but more of a finesse conference. When you look at a level of toughness, you look at SEC, the style of play that they have up front with their offensive linemen and their defensive linemen. So Troy comes in, now he starts to recruit some of these hard-nosed, tough guys to instill and implement in the CU program and try to revitalize it that way. Because you have to, as a coach, you have to have a culture. And what type of culture do you have? Are we going to be tough, physical, we're going to play fast, we're going to play smart, or are we still playing finesse football?
I do think it's fair to have at least a trickle of concern about what does the recruiting look like under Troy Calhoun.
Okay, let's talk about that.
It's a fair question, man. I mean, when you go in the living rooms of smart kids who get letters of recommendation to go to the Air Force Academy, you know, like you're dealing with mature kids that you relate with them in a mature manner. Okay, when you're relating to five-star prospects who football is the priority,
yeah.
Well, how do you relate to them? Is there a difference? And on top of that, you know, are you really super connected in the environments in which the five-star guys come out of? So, look, I'm not saying you can't do it. I'm just saying it's a fair question.
I've been lucky to know some parents and some kids who have played sports at Air Force, and I think there's two categories. I think there's just flat-out kids who want that life. Period. Like, they actually, that is their dream, and they're also great athletes.
No doubt.
They're there. But I do think there's the other kid who just is maybe a notch below that, you know, D1 level, and this is his way in to get that competition. This is an awesome kid, by the way, because this kid doesn't want to hear no. He is going to work his tail off. This is going to be, I shouldn't just say his, there's great female athletes there at Air Force as well, but it's a unique player that probably is just not going to be there for, you know, a Power 5 conference.
But there's a commonality amongst the two, that you're right. You know, you've got the guys that they just want the military life. They just want to be,
they really want to fly planes,
want to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Then you've got the guys that are still kind of got all the same characteristics of those other guys that got them there, the work ethic, the study habits, all those sorts of things. But that just wasn't their top priority.
How does Troy Calhoun, that is a good question. How does Troy Calhoun connect with a kid from California,
right,
who wouldn't dream of going to the Air Force in a million years and also has offers from Texas, USC, Utah,
LSU,
and LSU.
But this is how he does it. It's not just Troy Calhoun. I mean, you're only as good as the people who work for you. This is where his coaching staff comes in, because a lot of these kids that go to Air Force, these are not just guys who just want to fly jets. They've gone into homes of inner city kids and convinced them, hey, listen, you may have an offer from someone else, but if you come here, once again, you work in a government job.
I understand, but let me ask you this. How many kids have turned down CU for Air Force?
I don't know.
I don't know anybody.
I really don't know.
Usually it's a decision like, I could go to Air Force or CSU Pueblo.
Right.
I could go to Air Force or play
or
for
Army.
Or Army. Or I could play for Mines, D2, good level, high level D2, or I could play D1 if I'm willing to sacrifice a little bit at Air Force.
But still, this is why Troy is a great fit, because trying to convince kids to come to Air Force opposed to going to other universities, and you stay competitive and you had staying power for all those years, you must be doing something right. And your kids play with a certain level of toughness, knowing as though they're not as athletic as some of the competition that they're playing, and you're playing somewhat of a option offense. To me, you can walk and sell that to a kid in his home.
Well, listen, we're going to keep an eye on it, because who knows? If we know that Sark is out, it could mean at any moment somebody new is in, and you'll hear about it first right here on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's D-Mac, Tyler, and Nick.
Possibilities. The Bebop evolves, it flexes, it morphs.
It's a huh?
It's an amoeba.
Oh, an amoeba. It's small, but it like it looks big if you look at it like under the right lighting.
Yes. And changes happen all the time. Now, there are...
It's also like inertia.
Okay.
It's an unstoppable moving force.
CU education. Well, you may have picked that up at Creek.
I'm not sure if I hit that definition right. I hope I did.
Boy, I said it with confidence. That's all that really matters in life. And we turn to our man, Nick Ferguson, who has Henry Ruggs III, J.K. Dobbins, Tristan Wirfs, Derek Brown, Isaiah Simmons. But there is a change in the wind.
There is a change. Follow me, if you will.
Nick gets up, puts down his red Beats headphones. Style is important. Moves over to his board. He's displaying his board like Vanna White on Wheel of Fortune. He looks at Derek Brown, which was always going to be a reach, and Derek Brown comes down from the board and goes off the board permanently. He takes Tristan Wirfs, who doesn't go he is going down. I thought there was a halfway. Tristan Wirfs goes down to 4. J.K. Dobbins goes... Oh, a fake out. Stays on the board, but goes down to 3. Henry Ruggs stays at 1. And here is the revelation. Nick Ferguson has put an offensive lineman on the board. Andrew Thomas, offensive tackle out of Georgia at number 2. So... I have Andrew Thomas at 1, Josh Jones at 2. Tyler has the Broncos moving up to get Wirfs at 1, but he does have Henry Ruggs III and Josh Jones in that order. And now Nick has... This is the big debate here. Do you go offensive line or do you go wide receiver? You stay with a blazer and Henry Ruggs III. But you put Andrew Thomas up there. What's going on, Nick, with your moves on the bebop?
Well, watching the mock drafts over the past couple of weeks, I've been hearing the words of how Andrew Thomas is slipping on certain people's draft boards, right? And I was like, yes, that's great. That's a move I was looking for. Because now that could change where now maybe Andrew Thomas leapfrogs Henry Ruggs. I'm not there yet. But looking,
you're thinking about it.
I'm thinking about it. That's why I put him at 2, because looking at your board, you have all these offensive linemen, and I'm looking at the Broncos' issues and what they may want to do. So if you want to go get an offensive lineman in this draft, I know we've been talking about certain guys, but Andrew Thomas has always been my number one guy. Here's a guy who plays with heavy hands. He, you know, is one of those guys that you want because he moves piles, and he's a physical guy. And the Broncos have liked that for a couple of years, having guys who play with that certain nastiness and physicality. And I like what Andrew Thomas brings to the table. So he would be a great guy to challenge, you know, Garrett Bowles for that left tackle spot. And if you need to, only in the pinch, the guy can play guard too as well. I mean, that's not where you want to put him.
He could play guard?
He can play guard if you want to, but you want to keep him at left tackle.
Okay. You know, you don't have Andrew Thomas up there yet, Tyler. I don't know if you've been thinking about it or not.
I have thought about it. I've seen him slip in. For me, there are things about his game that I love, and there are things about his game that just doesn't fit what I want in an offensive tackle. He is a mauler, man, and he is physical in the run game. It is impressive what he can do in the run game. And in pass protection, he can look impressive at times when he's facing the right rusher. When he's got a bull rusher, man, you're right in his wheelhouse. He can stone you whenever you want. He's physical with his punch. It's good. But when he faces the twitchy guys, I get a little bit worried. When he faces the speed guys.
Who would be a twitchy guy in the NFL?
Von Miller. Von Miller's
who
a twitchy
you,
guy.
Who would face? Like, that would concern you.
Man, you know, like anybody who's in the, see, that's funny. That's a good question because like Nick Bosa, Joey Bosa, those guys are, they're twitchy enough to make you turn the corner. But it's really like Von Miller is the great example of what a twitchy guy is supposed to be. A guy that doesn't try to play with his power, doesn't try to play with his strength. His strength comes from his speed. There's definitely a lot of guys like Von Miller that just aren't quite as good.
Anybody? So nobody in particular stands out for you?
I don't know off the top of my head, no.
Okay.
There's a lot of things that I love about the guy.
Yeah, I love his skill set because, I mean, if Cooper is coaching him and Mike Munchak is coaching him, just imagine where they could take his game to. I mean, you have a guy who comes in ready-made with that certain nastiness that you want. And the one thing that the Broncos need to do, they need to take more shots down the field, but they need to have offensive linemen that can hold the point of attack and open up those holes for Phillip Lindsay or whatever running back the Broncos should grab in free agency or draft. So, to me, he fits what the Broncos want to do under Pat Shurmur well.
Yeah, okay. That's also part of it is that I just don't know really what Pat Shurmur wants to do in the running game, so that's part of my hesitation. It would definitely be a schematic fit based on a power guy, based off of a gap zone type of guy. Wouldn't be the right type of fit.
All right, so the other big question is, why not, if you're going to make that move there and he does fall, and it's a deep receiver class, why is a receiver more important than Andrew Thomas?
Well, at this stage, it's based on what we've seen from the quarterback position and Drew Lock. Drew Lock, with his quick delivery and his mobility, he's taking the pressure off of the offensive lineman. So much so that it made Garrett Bowles in the past couple of games, last games of the season, look great. Like there was a vast improvement. So knowing as though you have that quick release, you're taking a lot of pressure off that offensive line. But still with that, you need a guy that can catch the ball down the field in a vertical passing game. And he can stretch the defense to now open up passing lanes for Sutton, Tim Patrick, or even your guy who you felt last season they getting a lot of catches was Noah Fant. So Noah Fant becomes a better player if you have a guy like Henry Ruggs. But things can change.
But you're thinking about it. Yeah, I know.
I am thinking about it. So, I mean, you know, my board is realistic is on the lines of what I think the Broncos need to be better.
Here's why I think the combine will matter. A lot of people say why it doesn't matter, the underwear Olympics, that. I think if we all start seeing receivers who are projected to be in the second or third round who just, like, pop, like, you're like, whoa, okay, that'll get our attention. That will sort of help us form, like, oh, man. Like, that dude runs just as fast as Ruggs.
Yeah.
You know, that I didn't expect that out of that guy. And then some logic will be happening. Well, how many times are we actually going to throw the ball to Ruggs? Like, Cortland Sutton's still the number one dude.
Right.
Whereas whoever this offensive lineman may be a left tackle for the Broncos for another decade. And do I really trust Garrett Bowles? That stuff will happen during the combine.
It's a great question, and that's why I got offensive line at the top, because at the end of the day, not only do you have a question mark with Garrett Bowles, you got a question mark with Juwan James.
Well, that's why I have five offensive lines.
It's like,
can't go wrong.
This is such a unique and weird situation with our tackles, because you've got two guys that independently are capable of doing their job. Like, Garrett Bowles is capable of being an average tackle if he could get the mental aspect of the game down, you know? Like, Juwan James is capable of playing right tackle if he wants to be on the field.
Yeah.
You know, but there are gigantic question marks around both of those situations. So I just can't find a world in which wide receiver, a second wide receiver, a number two wide receiver is more important to me than an offensive tackle.
But yet, there you have Henry Ruggs there at number two.
I got it. I got a tackle above him, don't I?
You do, but you have a tackle that may be impossible to get unless they do some significant moves.
I want to. That's my entire philosophy.
See,
it's
curious,
up on,
like,
the board. I want to move up to go get
him. Why wouldn't you have Josh Jones ahead of Henry Ruggs?
Because Henry Ruggs is a better football player.
Okay. All right. And I just think Brandon Ayuk out of Arizona State, LaVisca Chenault out of CU, and Jalen Reagor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, out of TCU. I think they're going to be available in the second round. And I think those three of them are all three of them are incredible.
This is why, you know, we're all going to be glued to the coverage once the combine starts, right? Because if we start to see all these wide receivers run at top speed, now that's going to change things. But if Henry Ruggs has the fastest 40 time at the combine, that is going to light up not just the Denver Broncos, but 31 other teams. Looking for a guy who can stretch the field, because that's how you change the game. I mean, when you run the ball, you shorten the game. But explosive passes, I mean, to me, That's the quickest way to get from point A to point B.
Yeah, you got to be able to throw the ball. You got to be able to protect.
Oh, absolutely.
You
got
to be able to run the ball. You got to be able to do all those things. None of that's happening without an offensive line.
Well, looking at how the offensive line is currently constructed, I would say that they're doing a decent job. Yeah, like you said, there are question marks with left tackle because Bowles and Juwan James. But they made out well last year throwing some other guys in and Jake Rogers in it. So they may feel as though that they can get away with it. If they feel as though they can get away with those type of players, now they're looking for taking an offensive lineman maybe in the second round. But who knows?
We've gone down that road for about the last 5 years is my only problem with it. I mean, we have, for the last 5 years, been trying to get away with the offensive line. That's what we've been trying to do. I mean, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. That's like insanity to continue to rely on an average offensive line.
True, and listen, the Broncos can flip this either way with number one and number two. Take an offensive lineman, then a receiver, or receive an offensive lineman. But the great thing about it is that they have options to play with.
All right. Well, I love it. It's interesting. It's fun. Good job. Get you with an offense. Does everybody have an offensive lineman now? No, our guy Merrillat. That's something.
James,
no.
Talk about a shiny. You want to talk about a shiny toy guy? We got accused. You got accused of being the shiny toy guy. James is the ultimate shiny toy.
He is. He is the Stink. But he's the only guy who does. So he's a riot, man. Merrillat is too funny. He's got a bunch of wide receivers and cornerbacks. And then on his free agent fever list, he has, that's where he's got a guard. One guy. Man, he does not get to complain about offensive line play. I don't want to hear it out of James Merrillat.
He had a shot.
Yeah. By the way, a new feature, Kevin, are we good? We're going to do celebrity birthdays.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
I mean, do they have to have, like, a relation?
No, nah, it's just,
oh, you'll just any celebrity.
Happy birthday to Rihanna, who is, it's not nice to say a lady's age. Do we actually know how old Rihanna is? It's all right. It's her birthday.
I'll guess 28.
28? You think Rihanna's 28?
I don't know.
Like,
32.
32. She's probably about 41, like, you know, I don't know, in the islands, how, is she from the islands? No, maybe she's, I don't know where she's from, actually. Happy birthday to Rihanna. So to celebrate, bring the music down, let's sing her happy birthday, as the Nuggets do, in Serbian.
Nicola, who was doing the singing?
I don't know. Serbians. It's KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver. It's 5 o'clock.
I know what duty ain't.
Or are you a dude who has no idea what duty is?
Know what duty is. Ladies and dudes, guys, is another dude.
Happy Dude Day. And, hey, way to go for the morning show. Look at what the fellas have done.
That is arts and crafts at its finest.
They have contributed to the Hobby Lobby Studios, and they've joined us in free agent fever.
It looks like they intentionally use a black backdrop and gold writing.
Yeah.
Oh, for you.
For me. Yes. Well, that would be for CU people. Those colors right there.
I love those colors. Fantastic colors.
I think it was more or less because they figured as though you couldn't see from your seat.
Well, I definitely cannot see that from my seat.
It's like a crude joke by Mike Evans.
But you know what stands out is the bevy of
dudes,
practically naked dudes they put up there.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with it.
We got Rob Gronkowski with a smiley face in front of his, you know what.
Mm-hmm.
We got Jimmy G from the neck up.
Yeah.
We got Tom Brady from the neck up. We got Aaron Donald from the waist up with no shirt flexing on me, and I am terrified of him.
Yeah.
But there's not an ounce of clothing on that board.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
So I said what I realized is I think they're the Gilligan's Island crew.
just sit right back and you'll hear a tale,
Now, they want to call themselves the Wolf Pack.
From this tropic war,
wait a minute, what?
Everybody knows there's three in a Wolf Pack.
Right.
You can't give yourself a name.
Oh, they... Right.
You can't do that.
Good point, Nick. They've done it. But they're not really the Wolf Pack. They're more like a fun... They're fun. Like, they are definitely fun. I listen to their show, and
they're cute little teddy bears.
They are fun. There's no doubt about it. And they're also kind of clueless. A wolf pack would know how to organize itself and, you know, be kind of attacked viciously. The Gilligan's Island crew, they just got lost on a small boat, and they ended up on an island, which looked to me like, you know, 30 minutes away from Santa Barbara.
Who's who?
Well, it's obvious that Gilligan is Mike. He's the hapless leader. The skipper is Stink. Look at the similarities. Another guy who just does bench press and doesn't work on his legs at all.
It led him to Stranded Island.
Just top heavy.
The skipper clearly is just pounding out coconut curls and has no room for squats.
You shouldn't do the physical comparison.
Well, then you've got Thurston Howell, which is DeHuff, who's just kind of like, why am I even here? And then the professor is Millennial Ben, who appears to be the smartest guy and the most clever guy, but he can't get him off the island either. If he's so smart, get off the island. But it's fun. They're fun. They're fun. They're harmless. They're fun. They're harmless. But they're clueless because they ended up stuck on the island.
They're the Wolf Pack.
Well, they're the Islanders. They're the Gilligan Island. I'm sure Gilligan and Skipper like to think of themselves as the Wolf Pack on the island.
You know.
But, you know.
We had an offensive line out in Washington, D.C. that went to Mike Shanahan party after you made the roster. We were all Gilligan's Island. I went as the professor. Liz, my wife, she was Marianne.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and everybody had a nice little pairing going on. It was fantastic. I got pictures.
Is Marianne hotter than Ginger?
My wife is way hotter than Ginger.
It's a classic debate. Who do you like more, Ginger or Marianne? Are you a Marianne
I'm
or
I'm all
Ginger?
About Marianne.
You're about Marianne?
Yeah.
Ginger.
Yeah, you're classy. I can imagine that.
You know, as I said,
my wife is classy.
Marianne was like the tomboy sort of, you know, sexy sort of girl. Whereas Ginger was kind of
you should see
my wife on the slopes.
Yeah. No, I'm sure. Yeah. I was more of a Mrs. Howell guy. You know, I thought
Howell.
Yeah, Thurston's wife. I thought, you know, she could be up my alley. Mm. I set the bar low.
It is cute that they got involved, though.
It is cute they got involved. So, and I have a little birdie. It's funny, the birdie I have on this one.
Oh, we got birdies about the morning show?
Well, they only pick two each.
Yes.
So Mike's is Joe...
Tooney,
thank you. And Joe Schobert, who's a linebacker for the Browns.
Who dat?
Right, who knows? And Mark Jack Conklin, he just wants to throw money away. And Trey Wayne's a cornerback, whereas...
He gets toasted.
What about Breland? What about Logan Ryan? What about, you know... what about Logan Ryan? You know, what about Byron Jones? Stink just kind of... I don't know. This probably was like homework for Stink, and he didn't really want to participate in it all that much. However, DeHuff and Millennial Ben have also participated in this. Now, I have a birdie that has told me that Scott DeHuff's selections may have been greatly influenced by other people.
Oh!
Yes.
Well, let's look at him.
Yes.
Mm.
Logan Ryan.
He's on the board somewhere.
Yeah.
Who's the next guy? Can you say that name for me?
Kwiatkowski?
It's KW?
Yeah.
Kwiatkowski.
Who's on the Bears? Who's the linebacker? He plays alongside of Danny Trevathan.
Yeah.
Reserve linebacker.
Is that right?
Yes, he's a reserve linebacker.
Okay.
Yes.
So I have reason to believe that those picks of DeHuff's weren't really DeHuff's.
Oh, let's hear.
So the question is...
I love conspiracies.
Do we just take those and stick them up on for Mike and Mark, and we know that that's really... Well, it wouldn't be Mark, would it? Do we really give DeHuff credit for those picks?
Mm. What's your accusation?
Well, Thurston Howell really had no idea what was going on. I mean, let's face it. I mean, at least Gilligan and the skipper knew they were lost. You know,
Thurston into sports?
Thurston just, he really had no idea about
all he wanted sports. Was some Grey Poupon. That's all Thurston wanted.
I think he wanted some Grey Poupon and just shoot goofy videos with his kids. I think that's all Thurston Howell was really into.
Dude, it was a sick skateboarding on his stomach, though.
Like, I tell you, I know, it's been good stuff. Yeah. You know, there's no doubt about it. So perhaps we just stick Logan Ryan and Nick Kakowski. It was funny listening to Mike this morning. He was like so praising DeHuff's picks. I mean, he was just like, Scott DeHuff is nailing this. Scott DeHuff has really figured this out.
Way to go, Scott.
Way to go. Great pick about Nick Kakowski.
And then he reached over and pat Mike Evans on the back. Good job.
Ben, I don't know. I would guess Ben thinks for himself. He's the professor.
Well, he's kind of like the loner on that show. He's the millennial. They all make fun of him.
He
has to operate on his own. You got to have respect for
Ben. The wolf pack, he's the lone wolf.
He's like barely in the wolf pack.
Wow.
So were there two of us? There were two of us in the wolf pack. I was alone first in the pack, and then Doug joined in later.
That's exactly the way to describe them.
I don't know. We'll have to talk about it. But that's their picks.
Are you in the pack if you're the guy that everybody makes fun of?
Are you?
No, you're not in the pack.
Are you in the pack?
No.
Are you?
And now I know for sure. I just added two more guys to my wolf pack.
I don't know. If they're all making fun of you, are you really in the pack?
I don't know. It's a sign of love sometimes.
My wolf pack, it grew by one.
So usually in the wolf pack, there's an alpha male. So what is Millennial Ben? Is he like alpha, beta? What is he, Charlie?
Four of us wolves running around the desert together.
I don't know what Millennial Ben is. I don't know. They should check their pack. But anyways, they've come on board. So that's good. We appreciate it. I'm so tempted. See, what we've done is James Merrillat is on the board now. He likes Brandon Scherff. Am I saying that right? Scherff?
Scherff.
He's Scherff. Got Logan Ryan. He's got Danny Trevathan. Jordan Howard, running back of the Eagles. And Paul Richardson, wide receiver of the Redskins. I'm trying to look for some trends here. You know, Logan Ryan keeps coming up over and over. I don't have Logan Ryan. I have Breland. And I see Sandy's got Breland, and I think that he pops up somewhere else. But Logan Ryan's all over the place. Tell me more about Logan Ryan. What should we know about him, like, in comparison to Chris Harris?
Well, for me, it's the youth that you have in long speed. And playing the type of defense that Fangio is employing, you need to have long speed because you're counting on other guys to do their job. And Logan, watching him play with the Tennessee Titans, he showed that he's always around the ball. He can come up and he can make tackles. If you want him to cover in a slot, he can. That's not an ideal spot for him. But to me now, you get a veteran guy who's been around the league for a while. I mean, he's been in the Patriots organization, so he knows what it takes to win football games, especially tight football games. And the biggest thing for me is leadership in the locker room.
How much is he going to run you?
He may run you make 12-5.
It'll be more than that.
You think more than that?
What's Chris?
Yeah, it'll be in the 15s.
The 15?
Oh, yeah. So you think he's clearly more than Chris?
I think you can sign Chris Harris for less money and get a better football player. That's what I
think. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, Chris Harris is a better football player than Logan Ryan, and he's not going to command the same type of money that he is.
Oh, man. So that'd be a huge mistake then.
In my mind, yeah.
But Chris has gone on record as saying that he feels as though he's been misused in his defense, even though he loves Vic Fangio. So to me, if you bring Chris back for that amount of money, if you're able to bring him back, how do you get him to deal with that part of it, changing the defense to better suit his skill set than what has been presented now?
Well, for Chris, it's all going to come down to money. So that's all that really matters at the end of the day. He'll sign whoever pays him the most amount of money. So if Denver pays him the most amount of money and he has to play out of position, guess what? He'll do it. So that's really all it comes down to. I mean, how do you recruit him? With money. That's how you recruit him. How do you get him to come back? With money. Mm-hmm. That's how you get him to come back. So, I have no concerns about Chris Harris playing in the Vic Fangio defense. Did he get beat a few times this year? Yeah. Yeah, he's getting a little bit older. Okay, mm-hmm. He got beat. Guess what? He's still one of the best all-around corners in the NFL.
All right, well, listen, look for it online. We're posting pictures and videos at 1043thefan.com. Things are shaping up. And I hope the guys in the morning, they expand from their two-dude draft to a couple more. Usually,
well, two's the key number. It's two dudes.
No, I get it. I understand it. But usually in free agency, you know, you take a couple more free agents than two.
It's not six-minute abs. It's seven-minute abs. Seven's the key number here.
Mike Kliss will join us in a second. How cool to have Mike back on the radio, on the fan, on a station that people listen to. That's awesome. And we have something to talk to him about, the CBA stuff. It's been approved by ownership. It will be presented to players tomorrow. 66% of the player reps have to sign off on it, where it would then go to a player vote, only majority. And it's hard to imagine that it wouldn't get passed by a majority of players. I think what it really is, will the players reps, by a 66% margin, go for this?
You know, my gut tells me that there's nothing in this deal that you shouldn't agree to. It feels like a pretty fair deal. My only hesitation comes down to, can you really strike a deal on the first go-around? You know, like, this is the NFL versus the PA. You know, they hate each other. Like, this was supposed to be like some prolonged strike. This was supposed to be like this big war.
And how Morris Smith, they get 2 years of savings ready, players?
How the heck did we hit warp speed to the point where we're going to agree on the first go-around? That's my only hesitation.
It does seem a little bit too good to be true.
It definitely does. It makes me think that maybe during the Super Bowl in Miami, Morris Smith and Roger Goodell got cozy in some kind of Miami restaurant and hammered out these details to kind of fast track, you know, all of this, because knowing as though there are television deals that are going to expire, you know, and once the season started to begin, and the league owners, they definitely didn't want that. So how can we give the players what they want and we get what we want at the same time?
I don't know. I mean, I just remember, is Mike there? All right. We're joined by our good friend from 9 News, Mike Kliss.
Mike Kliss.
What's going on, Mike?
What's going on?
Wow. So cool.
You guys, a 3-year sabbatical. We're back.
What have you been doing? All right. Mike Kliss from our 9 News Broncos Insider. Mike, first, thank you for being on. It's great to have you back, and we're looking forward to so many things here in the future. So, man, it's great. On that note, the CBA, is it too good to be true? Is this thing going to fly? And if it does get hung up, what parts of it do you think the players will have problems with?
Well, it's still going to come down to the central issue here. And there's been a lot of things that have popped up, you know, kind of antennas to this deal to kind of camouflage, I think, a little bit, the central issue, which is 17 games. And I think it's interesting to me that the players' union meeting was called first for Thursday and then for Friday in Washington, D.C., and they canceled those meetings, and they're having a conference call instead. And the reason why I think that's significant is when you're in the room and Richard Sherman is saying, we're not playing 17 games. And then, you know, Russell Okung says, they don't care about our safety. And the next thing you know, it gets emotional and 17 games get shot down. In a conference call, speaking from personal experience, you fall asleep. You know, you don't pay attention. It's like, is this thing over? Okay, yeah, just do whatever you want so I can get off this call.
Yeah.
So I think you're going, and I talked to Brandon McManus about it. He doesn't like the conference call aspect about it because you can't read the vibe in the room. And there's obviously going to be a more powerful vibe with everybody in a room than no one in a room. Yeah. Everybody in separate places in a conference call. So I don't know if it was done on purpose. It sure seems funny to me. But I wouldn't be, you know, I think the payment for that 17th game, which is capped at $250,000, there's no way the players are going to agree to that. But they, from what I understand, they can agree to this proposal in principle and still work out some mechanics. So, you know, they want to rush this within the next week, because a week from now, you know, they set the salary cap and franchise tag numbers and the fifth year option numbers and those type of things. So that's why there's such a rush to get this done. And basically, you know, it comes down to tomorrow's vote with the players on whether there's a new way of business in 2021.
Yeah. So Mike, let me just be very specific on that and clarify, because I think you are onto something in regards to the conference call. Having been a part of this process, that's exactly the way it went down. We had a conference call and we were told today's the day we're going to vote. So the only time that we were told we were going to vote is the day that we voted yes. Do you know specifically, will there be a vote, or is this just an informational meeting?
It's going to be a vote.
Okay.
Yeah. It's, yeah. From what I understand, they've had the informational meetings. And now the total proposal, you know, whether they added on this playoff thing, the 250 cap, the proposal they saw before, informational wise, basically all they talked about was the 17 games and, you know, what that was going to look like. And now there's a few more details in this proposal. McManus said he had not seen it yet, but he will be emailed it before the meeting, the conference call tomorrow. And I'm sure they'll go over it step by step and discuss it step by step. But but I do think they're going to call for a vote.
Mike, what are your thoughts on a new playoff format that's been presented?
You know, I've said this. I've offered what I think the Bronco fans should think about it, and that is Patrick Mahomes is in your division. Heck yeah, you should applaud an added wild card team.
Right.
Because that division is going to be tough. Now, had it been back in the days when Peyton Manning was on the Broncos, you wouldn't want an extra playoff team. You know, you'd want the regular season champion to get rewarded.
Right.
With a greater opportunity, an easier opportunity in the postseason. This is an added team is going to make it a little more difficult. So, but from the Broncos' point of view, Patrick Mahomes doesn't turn 25 until this September 17th of this year. The division is going to be difficult for the next 10, 15 years. You can't complain about the extra wild card.
Hey, speaking of the Chiefs, we're contemplating who the Broncos may be interested in free agency and who we think that would be a fit for them. Mark Schlereth this morning said Chris Jones, the defensive end tackle for the Chiefs, was the second best player on their team next to Patrick Mahomes. High compliment from Stink about Chris Jones. I'm curious, Mike, what the Broncos think of him as he's a free agent, and knowing they've got Shelby Harris issues, maybe Derek Wolfe issues. What do they think about Chris Jones?
Well, Chris Jones is the best defensive lineman out there. No ifs, ands, buts about it. But he would, first of all, there's thoughts that he will get franchised. And so that's number one. Number two, if he's out there, he's going to get more than $15 million a year as the top defensive lineman. And I'm not sure the Broncos want to go there. You know, I think they're in free agent meetings right now. Mm-hmm. They have been this week. They're really hunkering down and putting their plan together. They have a good idea. I look at it that Fangio has a pretty good record, a history of getting the most out of defensive linemen, as far as, you know, guys who are pretty good, all of a sudden they're real good. Look at Derek Wolfe this year. He had his best year, at least he was, through 12 games. Shelby Harris, the best year he's had in his, you know, still young career. Hakeem Hicks with the Bears. Do I have the right guy there? He was a kind of a journeyman, and all of a sudden he became had a tremendous year and got well paid. So if Fangio, you know, gets makes the above average into really good anyway, why spend $15 million on a on one guy like that when you can allocate your resources elsewhere? Because they do have many, many other needs. Cornerback. They're going to look at inside linebacker either in the draft or free agency as maybe a complement to Alexander Johnson as opposed to Todd Davis, perhaps. Offensive line, receiver. They've got a lot of players, and I know they got a lot of money, but I think, Chris, in my opinion, and from what I understand, the Broncos probably wouldn't want to eat up all that money into one player.
Mike, it's great to have you back. Nine News, Broncos insider Mike Kliss. Man, man, oh, man, oh, man.
Yeah.
Good to have you back.
Yeah.
Happy days are here again.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it, guys.
Okay. There he is, Mike Kliss. You might have not have heard of his voice for the past 3 years, but there he is, live and in person. Well, let's
hanging out with Mike last year.
That's right. Were you?
Yeah. Yeah, we were hanging out together.
You were on Gilligan's Island. Yeah. You were on, like, Survivor Island. Who knows what island that was? Yeah. Soon to be its extinct island. There are dinosaurs on that island. Ooh. When we come back, let's dig into what Mike was talking about. And the concept of, can a coach be successful without total autonomy? Also, we're keeping our eyes open on the CU coaching search. It could pop today, might happen tomorrow. That happens next.
Columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.